Have you seen the ad on TV where the cute little girl comes into the shop to buy a chocolate for her mum for her birthday? Now, I don't know how you reacted to it when you first saw it, but there was part of me, the grumpy old man part, that said, hang on, this is just a fantasy. I mean, this kid just doesn't get it. You can't buy things with buttons and plastic toys. You need money. But then the softer my grandfather's side of me, the grandfather side of me kicked in. Sure, it doesn't matter. There's so much this kid doesn't understand. I mean, she doesn't understand money for starters. But what she does understand, it's enough. I mean, like, she understands she loves her mum and wants to buy her a present. She understands that to do that, it's going to cost her something very valuable, like her precious buttons and plastic toys. Yes, as it turned out, she knew enough. As we celebrate Easter, I want to ask you a question. What do you know about the cross? You might know everything, but do you know enough? You see, sitting at the heart of the Christian message is the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's not complicated. No cross, no Christianity. And when it comes to understanding the meaning of the cross, of how the universe was impacted by what happened on that Friday over 2,000 years ago, the Bible uses a range of different words and concepts to help us get it. And so we read of salvation, atonement, justification, forgiveness, propitiation, redemption, cleansing, deliverance, substitution, and so on. There is just so much. Truth be told, we will never fully comprehend the enormity of the cross. But here is the thing. As big as the cross is, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can get it. You might not understand all the ins and outs, but you can understand enough. So when it comes to the cross, what is enough? The Apostle John introduces us to his account of the death of Jesus with these words. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I want to suggest to you this morning that in this one verse, when it comes to the cross, John tells us enough. The first thing he tells us is it was just before the Passover festival. In the Jewish religious calendar, the annual Passover celebration was the most special of all. It is to this day a reminder of how God delivered the Jews out of Egypt. As one Jewish writer put it, this is the holiday that celebrates God's intervention in history to lead the Israelites from slavery to freedom. It is a time to celebrate God as the great liberator of humanity. Just think about this for a moment. Jesus could have died at any time throughout the year, but he didn't. It was at Passover, the festival of freedom. Above all else, Jesus died on the cross to set humanity free, to destroy the devil's work and deliver this world from his tyrannical control, to lift the bondage of sin and death from our shoulders, to bring life where there is only death, to bring us back home into God, our Heavenly Father's loving presence. What happened at the cross is in many ways like what happened to Ghanel Guzman. She was at work in the New York World Trade Center when it was bombed on September 11, 2001. When the building collapsed, she fell from the 13th floor stairwell and was trapped among the concrete and steel for 26 hours. Lying amidst the hard debris, Ghanel felt something soft near her. Before long, she realized that it was the body of a New York firefighter who had died trying to rescue people. Shortly after noon on September 12, Ghanel was found. She was the last person to be rescued. Afterwards, the rescue workers told her that they never would have found her if it were not for that fireman. Her clothes had blended in with the debris, making her virtually invisible. But the firefighter's uniform had reflective tape on it, and that drew the rescue workers to the spot where Ghanel had been trapped. His death had literally saved her life. And in a similar way, Jesus died to rescue us. But John also tells us Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. The Greek word John uses here carries with it the idea of a destined moment in time. This wasn't a case of, oh, well, it's 4 o'clock, it's getting late, we better get going. No, not at all. This was the moment. The moment I'm here for has come. It's time. You see, Jesus, the eternal creator God, entered time and space as a man for the express purpose of rescuing this world. The cross was not an unfortunate mistake. It was the very reason Jesus came. It was his mission. As the Apostle Paul expressed, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son in the world to redeem the world, to rescue the world. Yes, God's eternal plan reached its climax in the coming of Jesus, in that very hour. Everything before it led up to that moment in history. It was the moment that changed the world forever. And notice as well, John tells us that Jesus loved his own. He loved them to the end. He loved, as it were, to the full extent, to the limit. It was an unstoppable love. How much do I love you? I love you this much to the ends of the earth. That's what the scriptures are saying to us. The Apostle Paul put it this way: God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the Apostle John: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And again, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What was it that caused God to want to rescue the world? What was it that kept Jesus focused on his appointed mission? What was it that caused Jesus to endure the agony of the cross? Love. It was love. John Stott put it this way: in the end, there is no explanation of the cross other than the love of God. So what's the cross all about? Because God loves you, Jesus has come according to God's eternal plan to rescue this world. And like the little girl at the shop, if that's all we know, that's enough. It's enough. It's enough to cause us to bow our knees in wonder before the eternal creator God. It's enough to cause us to fall into the arms of the one who loves us beyond comprehension. It's enough. It's enough to cause us to run to the cross crying out, Jesus, rescue me, rescue me. It's enough to cause us to lay our lives at his feet. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Take me. Use me for your glory, for you, your purposes alone. Let me pray. Father, it's true. In many ways, the cross is beyond our comprehension. Why would the eternal creator God ever, ever allow himself to be crucified by the very ones who turned their backs on him? And yet, Lord, in your love, you reached out to your creation in grace and mercy. Jesus, we worship you today as our Savior, as the great Passover Lamb who came to simply rescue us, to set us free from sin and death, from the power of the evil one, from the curse that has wrapped the world in grief and pain and suffering. We stand in awe of you. We worship you. We bless you. We simply say thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, in response to the cross, I want to invite you to simply stop, invite us to stop and share in the communion meal together, share in the Lord's table. Luke writes that it was the night on which Jesus, it was the night of the Passover. And Jesus said, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And so after the meal, Jesus says, take this portion of bread and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And indeed, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. You see, the opportunity we have in this simple meal of taking a portion of bread and taking some juice or whatever you've got here this morning, is to force us just to slow down for a second. Force us to stop and remembering that, yes, it might be beyond our comprehension. All I know is Jesus died for me. His body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me. That's enough. Jesus, forgive my sin. Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, thank you. Why don't we just pause for a few moments, and you might like to pray out loud, quietly in your room, wherever you are. And let's take this opportunity simply to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, to thank you, to confess our sin, to take hold of his cleansing, to give ourselves afresh to him. And so let's eat and drink together the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for me, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, poured out for us. Yes, Father, we thank you for Jesus. It's through your blood that, Jesus, we have forgiveness. It's through your blood that we can enter freely into the very presence of God, our eternal Heavenly Father. And we simply say thank you this morning. What can wash me white as snow? The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.